Welcome to my contribution to this year's Michael Kernel Developer Room at FOSDEM. Thanks a lot to Martin Decky and Sebastian Sumpf for organizing this year's Developer Room. So it's a pleasure to be here. So my name is Norman Feske. I'm from the company GenoDevs, the developers behind the GenoDOS framework. And this talk will be about the last year's journey to bring together the GenoDOS framework and the PinePhone. The talk will be structured in three major sections. The first section will be about the underlying motivation of this work, so why have we even started doing this. The second part will be a bit like a picture story of what happened in the last year, so I can't go into too many technical details, but I will give you some insights into the whole development experience. And finally, I will give you a brief demonstration of how GNode on the PinePhone looks right now. And finally, I will close the talk with an outlook of what to expect in 2022. So when speaking about the motivation of this work, I have to really go back a bit to a kind of root concern of mine, which is basically a struggle that is getting ever stronger, I think, between really powerful dominating corporations and the civil society. And the smartphones and the smartphone industry is, I think, one of the most impressive expressions of this power struggle. So let's take a closer look. So what are the motives behind corporations in general? So don't get me wrong, I'm not anti-corporate. I can understand how this works. But there are still some kind of problem arising from this. So it's natural that companies seek profits. So I'm also running a company, so I know what this is about. So you want to be profitable, and there's also a desire for growth. It's natural for companies. The growth aspect is actually much fueled by investors for the most part, who demand growing revenue to have their assets increase their values. So what to do about it? Of course, one way is to increase the customer base, and the other way is you also have to keep the existing customers paying. It's clear. And whenever possible, raise the margins. That's basically a credo. And what to do to keep the existing customers paying? It is called customer retention. So one way to do this is to leverage platform effects. So let's say if everyone is on eBay, then all sellers and buyers are going to eBay. So that's basically one thing that big platform companies strive for. Another one is to create artificial dependencies, so that customers have a really hard time leaving the platform. And another strategy is to increase or introduce new complexity, and then offer the aid to make the suffering of the customers less. And so it comes down to making your customers addicted to you, to your products, because addicts are the best customers. And to make this even more efficient, it's always good to have as much information as possible about the customers, the market, the competitors, and so on. So there is a corporate motive to seek holistic knowledge without any bounds. And when it comes to smartphones, it's really easy to see that people are really some kind of addicted to smartphones. The smartphones play an ever more important part of our lives. But smartphones are in need of constant attention by the platform companies, or I would call it medication, because that's the whole story about the security. You have to keep your device updated, you have to keep it healthy, so you have to subscribe to some kind of service from a platform vendor to get new system updates. You have to use the platform provider's competence to save you from bad behaving applications. So there's this whole curation of apps. And you also expect the platform provider to entertain you a bit, like following the latest fashion. So there's a constant stream of new supplies of kind of medication. And today's situation, two corporations really dominate this whole business. So what about me as a member of the civil society? For a long time, I have really not used a smartphone, and I'm still not a smartphone user, but this is not a long-term sustainable strategy. So I want to participate in digital society, of course. So for example, I want to use a smartphone to look for the timetables for trains, or I want to use a COVID tracking application or things like that. So I'm not opposed to any kind of convenience that a smartphone provides. So I want to actually enjoy this utility value. But at the same time, I value my digital autonomy a lot. So I don't want to subordinate myself to corporate interests. What this breaks down into is that I don't want to have any changes on my devices without my consent. So I don't want to have questions like, do you want to install the update today or tomorrow? That's not a question I want to answer. I want to be in control of the device. I also want to be treated like a human being. So I don't want to be exploited. Like, my attention should be mine. I should not be forced to look at advertisements. I don't want to be tracked. I don't want to data mined or anything like that. Finally, I want to keep my communications private by default, unless I decide otherwise. And I want to keep my personal data for me. And another aspect is that I am always looking for sustainable paths in my life. So in one way, that's the environmental footprint I leave. And the other way is that I want to keep learned skills usable. So if I learn how to operate a device, I don't want to learn it again in the next years. So there's, of course, a lot of conflicts of interest between those two goals. So first, I think that this whole trend towards subscription-based business models, be it cloud services or this whole security update story, is really a taxation of digital life. And people are slowly getting used to it, and they just transfer money over to corporations.